Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, Hill Notes in about 20, 25 minutes. You can still leave one on the Odyssey app, a voice note on any topic, whether we have discussed it or we have not. Jeremy Swayman and Cambridge Mobile Telematics have launched a safe driving campaign for the holidays. And their Cambridge CMT's CEO, Bill Powers, is here. Bill, good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank
How
you for
you?
Being on the show. And you brought Jeremy Swayman with you from the Great White North on the telephone bright and early this morning. Hello, Jeremy.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Good. Can you hear me? Am I pinging? Am I getting to you?
Yeah, we got you. Are you on, no offense to Canada, are you on the rotary dial up there or the cell phone working?
I'm on the cell phone here, yeah. We landed late last night, but was looking forward to this call and getting on with you guys.
Well, we're glad to have you on. First time ever on the show, and that's three in a row for this team.
Yeah, it's been fun. Obviously, getting the first win for the road trip is important, but playing at home has been a blast this year. It is every year, of course, and really liking this group, especially getting some guys back in the lineup that were injured. It's going to be a pretty fun second half here.
Certainly nice to have David Pastrnak back last night.
Yeah, we missed our guy. He looked great, and he doesn't really miss a beat, so it was nice to have him back in the lineup.
How long would you guess he's okay on that third line, or do you think it doesn't matter?
What's that?
I said, is he going to be okay on that third line for a while, or is he going to want to be back up top sooner than later?
Yeah, I think any line he's on, he's going to be doing pretty damn good. So we're just happy to have him back on the ice, and then again, just a seamless transition. It just goes to show what kind of player he is, and the guys that stepped up with his absence, it's a fun locker room to be a part of right now.
Jeremy, you guys have been playing good here of late. What's been the difference, you know, here in recent games for this good play for you as a team?
I think just the next man up mentality has been a big piece. No matter who's on the ice for us, we know that they're going to get the job done, play their role the right way, and do it with maximum effort. That's all we ask from each other, and that's what I'm saying. It's a good feeling to be in this locker room, looking to the left and right of you, knowing that every guy is going to give their all, game in and game out. So that's a contagious feeling, and again, the locker room's in a good spot right now, and we just want to keep growing that momentum.
Some on this show maybe were a little critical of your start this season, but since November, you've absolutely dialed it in. What, if anything, is the difference there, Jeremy?
I think just consistency, belief in our system, and knowing that it was going to be a transition. A new system was put in place for us, and us just trusting the process. We know our coaching staff's going to put us in a good position to win games, and that's something that we had to come together with, and we put the time in. It's been an interesting year. We don't get a lot of practices. We're so condensed with games, and that's been a big challenge for a lot of teams. But at the same time, it's pretty fun. Every other day, it seems like we're playing games, and that's where you really get you know, your repetition and trying to learn new systems. So it took us, again, a couple games, and it's something that we're going to continue to work on all season long. But I think that that transition in November, getting some games under our belt, getting some chemistry with each other, really helped us a lot and put us in a good position, you know, around these holiday season.
Jeremy, you've dealt with a lot of change with your time in Boston, whether it's new head coaches or, you know, losing Linus. You and Linus were very, very close in his time playing here. Negotiations going into last season. What's been the hardest thing that you've had to deal with in Boston, and what has kind of evened out the most this season?
Man, it's all washed away when you get on that ice for the black and gold. I tell you what, it's an experience every year. You want to gain experience and just grow your game as an individual, and ups and downs are a part of it. And that was something for me personally that I've gotten to accumulate over the years. And I think this year it's really put me in a good position to, you know, expect the unexpected and understand that getting your mind right, you know, off the ice is going to put yourself in a good position to perform on the ice. And obviously being on the ice, you want to be in that happy-go-lucky state. I'm the happiest guy on the rink every time I touch the ice, because I'm so grateful for the position I'm in, the guys I get to play with, and of course the city I get to play with or play for. So the gratitude is just overwhelming at times, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of this journey.
Jeremy, how odd has it been to be goaltender for a team that's captainless?
It doesn't feel like we are. It's really special, actually, you know, to have guys that have stepped up, you know, even without letters. And that's something, again, that I really haven't paid attention to, because I feel like we have so many leaders in that room that are so capable. And it's allowed voices to be heard that necessarily wouldn't be heard. And our culture has really stepped up in that aspect of anyone that's wearing the jersey has a say. And that's something that, you know, we take really seriously and is really ringing true this year.
Got to see on Behind the Bee, we got to see Bill Burr do the starting lineups the other night, gave you a strong bulldog. Nesson has taken to referring to Morgan Geeky as Morgan Drake May Geeky. Please tell me that's not something you guys are doing. That's just a Nesson thing.
You know, Nesson is one of the best in the business, so whatever they do, I support. But I haven't heard that personally, so I guess okay. We got to keep that rolling for him.
Yeah, and you're not calling him Morgan Geeky or none of. Do you get the Drake? We have an argument here. It's probably a generational thing. Do you get the Drake May thing or no?
No, I'm sorry. You got to fill me in on that one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you don't understand that nickname either. Like,
yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
understands.
Okay, cool.
I'm told by Shime that all the kids get it. And
it's on TikTok, Greg. Everybody talks about it.
No. All the kids are doing it?
Yeah, all the kids are doing it.
That means he's like the best, because his name is in the middle of which is supposed to be his middle name.
He's him.
I don't know. But Jeremy, you know, last night you had some great saves. And goalies are different. Every time I talk to people who are around hockey, they say goalies are different. They just think differently. What's the one thing as a goaltender, like, give us a little window in that the most important thing you tell to your defensemen? I know you probably tell them a lot of things, but one thing that, you know, they need to do for you out there for you to have the best game that you can possibly play night in and night out?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I think that transition, you know, that transitions me right into the aspect that hockey's a team game. I can't do my job without having the guys in front of me doing their job to a T. So a ton of credit goes to my D-men and my forwards even. And I think the other day we were having a meeting, and we were just having a 30-game recap meeting. We went over our strengths and weaknesses as a team, and one of our strengths is blocking shots. I think we blocked the most shots in the league. And that was a huge telltale for me, at least personally, knowing that we got guys that are committed to defense, and that's why we're getting really good results in our penalty kill. Obviously, just our defensive zone breakouts, and then transition into offense. So the communication is huge for me and my D-men, and obviously the forwards doing their job. But, you know, if I get Big Zaddy in front of me, I got to tell him to get out of the way, and we have some good laughs because he can't see around that guy. So I just got to make sure I'm communicating with them. And, you know, if I see that first shot, I'm confident that they're going to be able to clear out the rebounds, and I'll stop that first shot. So I think it's it's just a communication thing on the ice, and plays happen fast. So
you talk about how fun of a locker room this is to be a part of right now. Obviously great to get Pasta back on the ice, but having McAvoy back on the road with you guys, how big of a plus is that for you?
That's everything. I mean, he battles so hard. He's such a leader in our room, and obviously the dominant force on the ice. And, you know, for him to go through a pretty traumatic experience there, I saw it first. I had the best seat in the house for it, unfortunately, and knew kind of right away with that sound. But, you know, it just goes to show he's not going to give up. And, you know, we're so excited to have him back. And we know that he's going to be an immediate impact when he does get back. But just like you said, the morale that he brings, the positivity, I've never seen that guy frown. And that's important, you know, because he wants to be on the ice just as bad as anyone else. And he cares so much. And for him to be on this trip and hopefully get in the game here is going to be a really big momentum swing for us.
How does that go? I mean, absolute warrior that he's back and going to be back this soon. But how does that go when you're there? Are you like, are you watching? You're like, wait a second, I think that was a tooth that I just saw come out.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was pretty traumatizing, to be honest. It's just, you never want to see your guys go down, and the way it happened, it's just an impossible play to really miss. Tip puck. Pucks coming, 95 miles an hour. So, yeah, it was tough to see.
Mm. Now he's a true hockey player because don't they get their teeth missing? That's
most guys,
you made it.
that is true. Not so much. Not so much with
big
football.
Time.
No. We wear the mask. Yes, we have that mask.
Yes, yes we do. Yeah.
And I don't want nothing to do with that. I play hockey and I wear a full cage. And I don't, the pucks don't
you
come.
You and me both.
So Wiggy played for the Patriots for a long time. Do you think you could score on Jeremy?
I'm a pretty good.
Still plays a lot of men's over 40.
Yes.
When he gets the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm playing Friday in Matt Light's event. I'm pretty good as an offense. I don't play no defense.
Okay.
I only play one end of the ice. I don't back check. I like to float.
Yeah, we go penalty shot style.
I don't think
10
so.
Of them.
Oh, 10 of them?
10 of them.
Oh, maybe I could slip one past the goalie.
Oh, what do you think?
There you go. That's what I wanted to hear.
Maybe.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That would be fun, though.
We'll make it happen.
I don't know. I might throw a red challenge for you.
Really?
You're not going to let that happen.
Okay. I'm going to go Dean Youngblood. I'm going to circle the center ice and that nice little kick before I come
Jeremy,
in.
Jeremy, I got every piece of money I have in my pocket on you on this one.
I would say that's true. Well, you got Bill is here, and you teamed up with CMT and their road club app, and the message is about staying safe on the roads this holiday season. Jeremy,
I was really excited for that. Bill and I got to meet organically over the years, and when he presented me with this opportunity, I couldn't have thought of a better company to partner with. That really something I'm very passionate about, and that represents the right way to live every day. And you know, when we started talking, I mentioned, you know, my dad was a huge advocate for me. When I started driving a motor vehicle, it was scary the way that he presented it to me. He's a Brooklyn, New Yorker, 6'6". And let's just say, like, when I was first driving in the parking lot of my elementary school, learning at 14 years old, there were tears coming down my eyes because I was so nervous. And, you know, if you're making a wrong turn, anything wrong in his eyes, he would let you hear it. And the biggest thing that he would preach to me exactly was, you will not go on your phone. We're not going to have distracted driving, and don't even get me started on impaired driving. So that was a staple in our family growing up. And again, when Bill presented it to me, I couldn't have thought of a better opportunity to be a part of such a special company and obviously a movement.
It's really cool. You earn rewards when you stay focused, improve your driving, not only you, but obviously for your kids who are driving. And so you should download the CMT Road Club app. And it's really cool that you're doing that. And Bill, I know you may want to add something to the mix here this morning. Is that correct when it comes to what we're doing together?
Yeah, so a couple things. First of all, Jeremy's just a great guy. Great kid. Dad's a great guy. We really get to know each other. I don't think we've ever talked about hockey, which is just awesome. So we'll be doing a lot together. But we were talking about this for the holidays, and we were thinking, you know, what's a great way to make a difference. So I started talking to Greg, and we came up with an idea to do this. Jeremy was kind enough to get involved. And then we are going to be donating $10,000 to the Greg Hill Foundation to help people through the holidays. Hopefully it goes to kids or whatever they need, but that's the plan
awesome.
Today. So thank you for
awesome.
All you're doing.
Good job.
The only restriction on it is that you said Jeremy must win every game that he starts in going forward, correct?
As long as Jeremy doesn't let Wiggy score, we'll be good.
Okay, well,
that's
we'll
the 10
grand. Right. Have you got that locked down?
Lockdown.
Yeah. All right. Well, wait. What do you drive? What are you current? We like to ask this question. What are you driving these days? Wiggy loves cars.
All right. I'm driving a Maserati right now, and we just got a Range Rover as well. Ooh. For my beautiful, wonderful fiance.
Range Rover Sport.
No, I see. I don't know cars as well as you. It's on the sport, so we don't need to go fast. We go A to B.
I was going to say congratulations on the engagement.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Who's got the best car on the team?
Man, we got some good cars. That's the funniest thing is coming to the locker room, but guys chirping cars. But, I mean, Zadorov's got that Bentley, so... He's got something nice. He doesn't really miss, you know. He likes to show up with a bang. Yeah, we got some nice cars. We're very fortunate. Yeah,
the Bentley SUV,
the Bentley, the Beñata, I think it's called, or something like that. But if it's the four-door Flying Spur, he's winning.
Yeah,
he don't miss.
Jeremy, Greg has the only domestic car in the seaport. So.
I love it.
I used to see Jeremy in the garage at the Echelon, and I would go in the other direction because I just didn't. I never know what people hear when they're listening to the radio, but I
mean, we talk good about him, so
yeah, we do.
Yeah,
yes,
we definitely.
Well, you
definitely
better keep that. Better keep that up now for me.
We're keeping it up now.
That's
great.
Right, yeah,
we big him up.
We're keeping it up. All right, Jeremy. Listen, I appreciate. I know it was a late night for you, and we appreciate you getting up this morning and doing the show. And we would love to have you on anytime. You're welcome here always.
Likewise, thank you so much.
Hey, Jeremy. Thanks, brother. Well, say hi to Ken.
All right, happy holidays, Bill. Thank you, guys.
All right, see you guys. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, Jeremy Swayman.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons, and before we get to Lou Merlone, it is time for the play call that you'll need tomorrow morning, Greg Hill Show, 7:30, for our next QB Under the Tree giveaway. And today's play call is Switch 14. That's Switch 14, Ted Johnson. You like that play call?
Never not once have I heard that ever called, ever. So I don't know who's coming up with these play calls. I've never heard of any of them. But... That's a different deal, so it doesn't matter.
All right, let's go to the guest line where our guy Lou Merlone joins us from Florida. Mr. Merlone, how we doing?
Well, I'm starting to drink heavily.
There you go.
Yeah, me too.
There's our Lou.
Most of you getting that plane ride home and just a quiet winter meeting. You always hope it kind of gets some action. I thought maybe there was because there was some coming into it, but not much going on, especially in the Red Sox end.
Just to put a bunch of nips in that carry-on.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be just fine.
Yep, you'll feel better soon. But I think you and I shared a brain the other day on Twitter. It was Schwarber goes back to Philly, and it's like, okay, this is fine. It's just Alonso or bust. Well, now it's not Alonso, so what does bust look like?
Yeah, it's the minute he found out Baltimore like offered Schwarber basically matched what he went to Philly, he just said, well, there's your market for Alonso.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they're going to offer that to Schwarber. Why won't they offer that to Alonso? And basically it was. They gave him $5 million. So I don't know, you know, listen, I wanted one of those two guys because obviously it's instant power tool. But, you know, is it bust after that? Like, you know, there's still some players here that you can add. You can add a couple of bats to kind of improve this top and middle of the order that can make you a good baseball team. You don't have that elite tool of power. Those are those two guys. The other guy is Gino Suarez. I'm not a big fan, to be honest with you. I know he's got potential, but it's not consistent. There's a ton of strikeouts. He doesn't play a position. So for me now, I just sort of look back to, I want Alex Bregman. You know, I want defense. I want contact. I want 20 to 25 home run potential. I want to find the same thing at first and go from there.
Lou, going back to Pete Alonso, just real quick, you said, you know, kind of the Schwarber kind of set the market for Pete. And so it was a pretty simple kind of contract to get done with Pete if he wanted it. But reports are that they went way under what Pete Alonso actually got. So the two things that come to mind for me is, well, did they really want the guy if they severely kind of underbid, or did they completely misread the market? What is it, one of those things to you that happened there?
Yeah, I think the Red Sox sort of, yeah, you're right. It's one of those things. Yeah, we like the player. Well, obviously not enough.
Right.
Like, and this is part of the whole thing of getting uncomfortable. Do we think 4 years, $100 million is probably what he's worth because he is probably a DH? But, you know, that's great. You can think that. But if that's the case, then you really don't want him because that's not going to come close to getting it done, you know? So it's like, yeah, it was funny. I talked to somebody out from New York, and they were just kind of talking about him. It's like, you know, he's a DH, and the Yankees kind of, I mean, the Mets rather, they're not bringing him back. I'm like, what does that say? You know, because he does have 45 homers in that lineup. Why wouldn't they bring him back? And he's like, I just don't see Craig Breslow giving a one-dimensional guy who doesn't run, play defense, he hits home runs, $30 million for five. And I'm like, well, that's what it's going to take. And it was, and they weren't willing to go there. So, do I know what the plans are? No. Does anybody know what the plans are? No. Because it's a very small circle of trust in that GM room of Craig Breslow. And so that's why these reports that come out, I don't believe any of them because I think they're all coming from other teams or agents.
Which is crazy, but, you know, that is what it is. So, Lou, what about Bregman?
Yeah.
Seems like there was that talk that maybe they'd be able to bring him back. And then last week, I believe there was the report they've now shifted focus. He's their number one priority. Do you think there's any more movement on that front? Because it feels like since he's a Boris guy, they're kind of painting themselves into a corner, and now Bregman and Boris have the leverage.
Yeah, for me, it's almost like last year, too. It's like they got Alex Bregman because Bregman almost waited for Boston to move, you know, and to offer him a deal he's willing to take. And I think, you know, Bregman wants to be back here, but I think when you look at his mark, you start wondering what it is. And this could come down to the issue. The Red Sox like these players, but they like them at their price. They value these guys. And if you continue to do that, you are not going to get these guys, right? So they may slow play this thing. And that's why I think part of the rumors, too, to be honest with you, with him interested in every single infielder might be to shake up that camp a little bit. Because I do think Alex wants to come back, and he doesn't want to hear the Red Sox involved in Isak Paredes or Ketel Marte or whatever it may be. And they may be separate deals anyways, but they have to be willing to kind of get a little uncomfortable in terms of what they want to give per year and how many years.
Nesson and WEEI's Lou Merlone here on WEEI Afternoons. Lou, so you just said, oh, there's a couple bats out there, and we've already seen a couple pitchers come in. We all started the offseason thinking Joe Ryan and a big bat. Is it now quantity over quality then?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on if you think, like, you know, a guy like Ketel Marte or Alex Bregman, it's like, you know, is it more of a complete player better than a guy that can pop 45 homers, you know, and you can sit in a room and argue that all you want. So You can still get two impact guys to hit this two in the 2-3 range for this lineup, I think. You know, it's just a question of, is one through trade, is one through free agent signing. It's just a question of, like, where they go from here. They have to go somewhere. Like, you don't you have Roman Anthony, you know, let's say, call it, you have a leadoff hitter, and then you have like 5 through 9 covered with potentially Story hitting somewhere in that top five, but still, that's what you have. You have huge holes in your lineup.
So trade market, right? I mean, that's the next logical thing is the trade market, Lou. I mean, there's deals out there that we had probably have no idea because we don't know who they're interested in on other teams. But I mean, is that the next, really the only move they have left to get the middle, you know, bat that they so kind of desire and covet? Is the trade market the way to go?
Yeah, I think he could be. I think the Marte thing is real. I think there should be interest in him. I think he's kind of all around probably the best second baseman in the game, switch hitter, really good defensive guy that can hit for some power. So I think that's real. It's just that, you know, we hype up our prospects so badly that I think what it would take to get him, people are like, no way. And I say all day because I'm trying to improve the big league team. You know, you create depth and you just get into this hoarding idea and, like, you know, the people in Boston, they just love these prospects. Not everybody's Roman Anthony, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not everybody's Pedro Martinez. And it's sort of like you have to start giving up a little bit, and it could hurt, but you can get one of the better second basemen in the game, if not the best. So I still think that's real. We'll see if they dive in. I like the kid Okamoto, the Japanese, if they want to dive back into that first baseman, third baseman model, just because of the profile is just kind of in that Bregman kind of range, right? Like, he can play defense, he makes contact, he hits 25 home runs. I mean, this is where we're at right now, right? Because the elite power is off the table.
Last we saw, Lou, as far as the pitching went, Sox were starting a kid who had just been called up a few weeks ago in the third and final game of a wild card series. So pitching needs a little work as well. So far, picked up Oviedo and Sonny Gray. What do you think about what they've done as far as pitching acquisitions thus far? And anyone you have your eye on going forward?
Listen, I like Sonny Gray, okay? It's just that I thought you were going to get your Chris Sale to go with David Price. I thought you were going to get a guy for 4 or 5 years to go with Garrett Crochet, not one. And that's kind of what Sonny Gray is. I think for 2026, I think he's a good pitcher. Oviedo's kind of more upside. Bayo is in the mix. There's guys like Patrick Sandoval and Cutter Crawford. And, you know, there's six names right there. And then you're not even mentioning Early yet. So it's, you know, the depth is there. There's potential. You know, as long as you have Crochet healthy on top of that rotation, for it to be still a very good rotation. But, depending, if you don't spend on the bats, you do wonder if they take a path and try to load up on this rotation for one more big piece.
So, Lou, is it my understanding Breslow had some media availability? Did you hear him speak?
Yeah.
What was his message? What did he have to say?
You know, it's when a GM sits in front or a manager sits in front of the media during these things, they don't say anything. They really don't. I mean, it's like, well, we can't talk about free agents. We can't talk about pursuit. We're interested in this guy. We're interested in that guy. So, you know, it's hard to read between the lines, you know, with a lot of it, because they just, like I said, this front office, they don't give you much, right, publicly. And it's why when you come down here, you have to sift through, like, all the crap that you hear and the rumors. You got to shower 4 or 5 times a day just to feel clean and just sort of go with it and wait for something to happen so you can react to it rather than trying to predict it, because it can be extremely unpredictable.
All right, before we let you go, one last question. I was reading some of the Cora comments from yesterday, and was it reality or crap when he was talking up Willy or Abreu and saying something to the effect like, he could be the guy, he's going to hit more against lefties this year, and maybe he could be, quote, the guy? Is that reality? Can he be your guy for a power hitter?
Yeah, he can be. It'd be nice to have, like, more of a given next to it, but I do think that there is another level. I mean, last year, you look at some swing and miss stuff out there, numbers wise, where it was like 28-30%. He cut it down to 24. If there's one more step and he makes a little bit more contact, and that average can climb to 270, and he can stay healthy, and he can pop 30 home runs. There's no question about it. And Roman's got some potential to do it as well. So, Abreu has a chance to really be a special player if he takes the next step. Like, elite defense, power, good athlete. So there's a lot of potential there, and that's why you'd like to see the veteran known player go with the potential of an Abreu, Roman, Sadon, Narvaez, these types of guys, you just don't want to rely on those young guys and just expect all of them to take the next step, because that's just not realistic.
All right, Lou, safe travel.
Real quick, did you take the sticks down there, Lou? Did you play some golf while you're down in Orlando?
No, I didn't. We were right on a golf course, and it really killed me. Instead, I just walked up and down hallways just waiting for something to happen for 3 or 4 days, drinking about 48 cups of coffee.
Walking hallways and taking a lot of showers. Yep, very good.
That's the Lou Maloney experience at the meeting. Safe travels home. Enjoy the drinking if that's part of your future. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, boys. You got it. Anytime.
Thanks, man.
Lou Maloney from Nesson, and obviously
he wasn't that angry.
I was disappointed. No. Honestly,
he's kind of on the cusp of getting angry. Yeah. But he wasn't full out.
Or maybe he's had a couple drinks already and he's kind of mellowed out a little bit.
I think he's tired, Lou, right now. Yeah. Maybe he'll wake up a little more frustrated.
That would
tomorrow.
Be a very exhausting, I think, trip. Because you're just you're doing is talking to people and they're telling you lies and they're whispering lies in your ear and you don't know what to believe. That couldn't be fun.
Sounds like a visit to Washington, D.C.
Dan Ball?
And Lou is a fan just like we are, too.
Absolutely.
So it's exhausting from a professional side and a personal side because you're exhausted of, you know, what the result is.
And he's invested. He's going to do basically 140 games on either radio or TV next year. He wants to talk about a good, fun, entertaining baseball team.
As do we.
Yes, as do we.
League. What commonalities have you seen in the rivalries you've participated in? Do you see any of those elements possibly here with Buffalo?
I just got here. So, I mean, again, I know that they've won the division 5 years in a row. I don't think there's really much of a rivalry for those years. Maybe not. I don't know. I wasn't paying any attention to it. I'm just focused on a very good football team that,
you know,
is used to winning, and they're determined and they're resilient, and, you know, we'll have to be at our best.
Mike Vrabel yesterday, Bills rivalry, not really much of a rivalry of late. And oh, by the way, I just got here. Pats won the first matchup back in week 5, 23-20 over Buffalo. They're 11-2. We've been talking about the game all week long. We felt it'd be good to get the Buffalo view from Sal Capaccio, WGR 550 up in Buffalo. Sal, thanks for joining us here on Jones and Keefe.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Anytime. Should be fun on Sunday.
It should be. Mm-hmm. We have spent the last couple of days trying to rationalize, and I'd like your thoughts on this, how the Patriots could go into Buffalo, beat the Bills in the midst of a 10-game win streak, coming off a bye week. Buffalo, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but they've looked pretty shaky this year compared to how they've looked in the past. How, with all of those factors, is Buffalo favored as of right now in this game this weekend?
Well, I don't know. You have to ask the oddsmakers in Vegas. My guess is because they have Josh Allen and the experience of, you know, this type of football and this type of environment. You know, they have a very, very good December record under Sean McDermott. They are still one of the top scoring teams in the NFL. Their defense has been a bit shaky. So I guess that's why. I mean, there's, you know, you look at the Patriots and give them all the credit in the world. They're playing really consistent football all year. But I think there's probably some questions, I guess. It's not me saying, and I'm saying why you would be have the Bills favored. Still questions about their schedule or playing tight games and all that kind of thing. So I think it's a pretty even game. It doesn't surprise me either way that either team would be favored by a point or a point and a half.
What are the Bills fans' thoughts when they see Steph Diggs having the type of season he's having here in New England?
Well, I think, first of all, they're a little surprised. Because this is a guy that appeared more on the downside of his career when he left Buffalo. And then he went to Houston and he had the awful ACL injury. For him to come back and have this, you know, resurgence is unbelievable. It really just speaks volumes about his hard work and his talent, to be honest with you. I don't think there's not one Bills fan would say, oh my God, I can't believe they traded Stephon Diggs. I mean, it clearly was the end for the partnership at the end. He had to be traded for him and the Bills and for Josh Allen, I think. And all the talk that offseason was, well, what's Josh Allen going to do without a number one? Well, he went out and won the MVP. So I don't think anybody was upset about that. It's so funny. You get more Bills fans upset that Mac Hollins is on the Patriots than that Stephon Diggs these days, to be quite honest with you. So I think it's more of a kind of, you know, just a bit of a knife in the side that Stephon Diggs came to Buffalo and had the game he had in week 5.
So we like Mac Hollins here. I've been pleasantly surprised by him. I've been very surprised as well by Diggs. Like, I didn't think he'd be back from the injury as quickly as he was. I didn't think he'd be, you know, the teammate/leader that he's been, dot, 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 so far.
I'm curious, and you just hinted at some of this, but I'm curious if Steph Diggs and the Steph Diggs experience has a shelf life.
I think it does. It did in Minnesota, and we were told that. It's so funny. You're asking me this, and I ask the exact same questions to people in Minnesota when this happened. And you're like, yeah, but everything's great here. And he's got, you know, this younger quarterback he's working with, and it's amazing. It's a great relationship. And people in Minnesota said, just wait. Just wait. And I'm like, no. Well, guess what? Just wait. And I'll say the same thing to you guys. And that's, hey, I don't know. He's at a different point of his career, though, right? And, you know, we'll see how it ends. Stephon Diggs is the ultimate competitor. There's no doubt about that. I do not think he's a bad teammate in any sense. I think what happens, though, is Stephon has this aura and this weight about him that he is so competitive. He is so much of a guy that, you know, has a name and a spotlight that I think it becomes heavy around him. And if everything's not going exactly perfectly well, that becomes tough to sustain. I think that's what's happened in Minnesota and Buffalo.
What's the sense in Buffalo right now when you see the landscape of the AFC and some of Josh Allen's, you know, main rivals are all having bad years, or at least the teams are having bad years in the case of Mahomes and Burrow and Lamar Jackson? Is there any sense of if you don't break through the AFC this year, then maybe you won't?
Yes, that's a lot of the talk here. It's a lot of the talk nationally, as you guys have probably heard as well, which is it's a really interesting kind of dichotomy, which is the Bills probably, from the outside looking in, have what might be considered their quote-unquote easiest path to the Super Bowl that they've had in this five-year run. However, that is coupled with the worst team they've had in the five-year run. So which would you rather have? Now, you want to have the best team possible. But, guys, I'll be honest with you. The fact that if the Bills, the nemesis has been Kansas City. And I know they lost to Cincinnati the one year as well, but no Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, no Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, no Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. At least it appears as though that's the case with all of these. Oh, my God, the Bills fans are signing me up. Even going on the road for three games, I think Bills fans say, let's take that. Like, even this game, for example. Yes, this is a very critical game. Bills don't want to lose it. Bills fans don't want to lose it. You don't want to see a hat and T-shirt game in New England with, you know, the Patriots and winning the division. And we all know, though, that most likely the Patriots are going to win the division. And it's an important game, but I think if you told Bills fans right now you could sign up for the AFC divisional round in New England, they would absolutely take that, believe it or not, over Kansas City coming here or Baltimore coming here to Buffalo.
Interesting. He is Sal Capaccio, WGR550 up in Buffalo. Give him a follow at Sal Sports on Twitter. You know, looking at this game and this matchup, you mentioned McDermott earlier, his record in December. Like, our perception on McDermott is maybe he's on the hot seat. I don't know if it's the Jackson Dart glasses that he's sporting these days. I don't know what it is, but I don't have a ton of belief in him. I don't think a lot of Patriots fans have a ton of belief in him. How hot is his seat in Buffalo, if at all?
Well, from the fans' perspective, it's extremely hot. But I'll maintain that I don't think that this ownership has any thought to move on from Sean McDermott. Now, we'll see. Do they go to the AFC wild card and, you know, get blown out or something? I think all those things can always change things, right? I mean, Sean McDermott is one of the most – the only thing that's held him back from winning a Super Bowl or getting to a Super Bowl, I should say, has been pretty much the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, he's definitely had his defense and moments that he's coached that have done that. There's no doubt. I'm not excusing that. What I'm saying is, though, that I think Bills ownership knows that there are, you know, what, 25 other teams in this league that would love to have a coach like Sean McDermott who's done what he's done for the last 9 years in Buffalo. So I don't believe his seat's hot, but I will tell you guys – because of what happened in Kansas City in the divisional round in 21 with 13 seconds left, that forever sticks in Bills fans' minds. And no matter what Sean McDermott does, it does not matter to them. They just want a new coach, and they'll always point to why he's not the guy. He has to do it, or you're just going to go back to everything you just said about you can't get there, he won't be the guy to get you there. And it's we feel calls about it every day on WGR that people just want a new head coach because that is the thing that sticks. I look at the big picture and say, oh, my God, like, he's one of the better coaches in the league, and he has been. And do you not know where you were for 20 years before that?
Another thing you guys must get a lot of calls on is the wide receiver room, because even at the beginning of the year, it looked like a barren wasteland. And the Patriots have had some bad receiver rooms over the last 5 years. And even going into this year was sort of the uncertainty on Diggs and some of the younger players. We were all saying, like, we'd take the Pats group over the Bills group. It seems like they're just putting so much on Josh Allen to succeed. But, yeah, the receiver room's got to be towards the bottom of the entire league.
you guys obviously remember and you heard the exchange between Brandon Bean and our morning show.
We played that. Yeah,
that was right after the draft. And, you know, our morning show host, Jeremy White, he's been on what he calls his wide receiver train for the last few years. It's actually kind of become a bit of a shtick and kind of cool. But, you know, just because ever since Stephon Diggs left, especially, it's been get Josh Allen, you know, another more receiving help, get him a true number one. But the Bills have gone to this mentality. And it's, I think this is so ironic that the Bills actually shifted a mentality to everybody eats because they didn't want to have a guy like Stephon, and for the reasons I said, and there's so much weight around and you got to kind of make sure he's satisfied. And now it's like, wait a minute, he's doing that in New England and they kind of have an everybody eats. He's, you know, everybody's getting all these balls and the Bills need a guy like that now. So to answer your question though, yes, it is a huge question. It's something we've talked about. Now I will say, when you say put everything on Josh Allen, let's remember the Bills haven't done that because they have the number one rushing attack in the league. What the Bills have done here over the last few years, if they've gone to a different philosophy of, okay, we have Josh Allen. He's this great quarterback. Maybe he's the best quarterback in the league. He can do all these superhuman things, but he can make everybody around him throwing the ball better. What we need to do is insulate him with a really great running attack and a really good offensive line and keep him healthy and protected. And that's actually gone really well this year. And that's exactly what they've done this year. And the Bills lean on that running attack. I would make the argument that James Cook could be the AFC Offensive Player of the Year before Josh Allen could, even though Josh Allen would be the Bills' MVP.
Pickett, who wins on Sunday?
Well, I'm on the radio broadcast on the sidelines, so I'm careful about things like this, guys, with all the gambling stuff that goes on these days, as you know. So I will say, though, that I am pretty sure that the Bills are in a position where they do not want to see the New England Patriots with hats and T-shirts after the game and celebrating a division championship. So I think the Bills will give everything they can to walk away with a victory here. But I do think the Patriots probably wind up winning the East because it's just tough for them to see them losing against the Jets and the Dolphins, or the Dolphins, I should say. But I think that these two teams might match up again in the playoffs. So I think the Bills have a very good shot to win this game. But, man, if you could do what you did in Week 5, muck it up a little bit, get a couple of turnovers, I could see it going the Patriots' way.
Okay. He's Sal Capaccio, WGR550 up in Buffalo. Give him a follow at Sal Sports on Twitter. Sal, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sal.
Yeah, you got it, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, awaiting our weekly phone call with Adam Schefter. And we are still kind of complaining, bitching, whatever the word is, about the Boston Red Sox and their failure to land a big bat this offseason, despite the fact that they promised us a big bat this offseason. And it is December 10th.
They can still make trades, right?
They can still make trades. And I know there's even names out there, whether it's a trade for Marte. I know our guy Dan Ball still dreams about a Fernando Tatis trade. Corey Seager. Like, there's names out there.
I'm not as interested in Seager. However, you get me a Tatis and a number two starter, maybe bolster the bullpen, I'll start walking back a little bit of my Fenway frustration from the first hour.
All right, let's go to the guest line. As I said, we're joined each and every week by ESPN's Adam Schefter, who is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and by Jeanne d'Arc Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912. Stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org. Mr. Schefter, how are we doing this week?
Andy, Nick, and Ted, how are we doing today?
We're good. Well, we're bitching about the Red Sox not getting Pete Alonso, so not great. But I actually wanted to start there with you. As an information guy for the NFL, when free agency starts, you have a lot of news on your Twitter right away. Boom. All these big fish are signing contracts, big deals. I wonder, what's your view of the way it works in Major League Baseball? I don't know if you've maybe even talked to, like, Jeff Passan or those guys over the years, where their free agency period is usually a little bit slower and sometimes can be drawn out over 4 or 5 months. What's your view of that? Do you prefer the way yours works?
You know, it's funny. We have an insider's text chain that Adrian Wojnarowski started, where it was me, Woj, Pete Thamel. We added Passan. Woj left. Shams got added in. And we often text about certain topics. I've often discussed a lot of news with Woj. Shams has called me a couple of times and asked me some questions. I've never discussed free agency with Jeff. And I don't know that I would like it the way he has it. There's a part of it that's appealing just in the sense that you have a little bit of a break. Like in my world, the NFL world, it's like 2 days, 2 weeks that are really intense, but it's that really that 4 day period, that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, where the league year, where the free agency starts Monday. It's almost inhumane. Like it just goes around the clock for 4 days. So the only equivalent I could throw to it would be like when you're in college and you had, you know, final Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, and you're going from one test to another and you're pulling all-nighters and you get done and you're like, ah. So that to me is like the NFL version of free agency. Baseball is just all spread out. So again, I would say it's like taking a final every week for 5 weeks. That really would be the best analogy I can use for you.
Boy, I'd love to be a fly on the wall of that text chain. Wouldn't that be fun to be on part of that text chain?
Right, put it on Signal so we can hack it at him.
That would be
a ton of fun. So, Adam, looking at the Patriots, obviously coming off the bye, huge game, looking forward to this Sunday. But regarding Drake May, it is really fascinating to watch his meteoric rise at this point now. We're talking somebody who is an MVP contender. He is the leading Pro Bowl vote getter at this point. You go to NFL.com, you go to the Patriots Pro Shop, you cannot even get anything resembling a Drake May jersey at this point. It's unbelievable. So, everywhere. So I wonder, do you feel like there's a chance Drake May, Mahomes fell out, the kingdom is collapsing, you know, he's playing Josh Allen, could win the AFC Sunday. Do you think there's a chance Drake May could soon maybe one day be the face of the NFL?
I think you have to kind of win some trophies before you're going to be the face of the NFL. Look, I think he's going to be one of the faces in the NFL. He's absolutely got that chance. And the answer of how high that will be or how impactful that is or however you want to describe it, I think will be spelled out in postseasons. You know, the reason Tom Brady became Tom Brady and the GOAT is because he just kept winning Super Bowls. If Drake May wins a Super Bowl or two, you know, absolutely. Like, Josh Allen is one of the faces of the league. He hasn't won a Super Bowl, but he's won the MVP, and he's produced. And I think that, at the very least, that seems to be a trajectory that Drake May would appear to be on right now. Now, look, it can change real quick. Jaden Daniels, a year ago, was like that, and this year he's had a lot of injuries. The team hasn't played well. They're not winning. It's not as accentuated as it was last year. So I think the key is just winning. As long as you're winning, you're going to be getting more recognition than you care to have. But you got to keep winning. They're doing that this year. People are recognizing him. I think the two are connected. And as long as the winning continues, solo all the adulation and praise.
That was this week's Drake Take from Adam Schefter, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive.
Adam, I want to ask you a question based on a tweet you sent out just under 20 minutes ago, and it's already got over 200,000 views. That's insane, my man. But let me just read the tweet, and then I'd like you to expand on it if you could. But you just tweeted, NFL Executive Vice President of Football Ops Troy Vincent informed teams today that the collective bargaining agreement between the NFL and NFL Referees Association ends in May, making this the final season of the agreement. The league now views this as an opportunity to take significant steps to improve officiating, pending union agreement. Can you expand on that at all, Adam, and just tell us, you know, maybe how the league views the officiating this year and what this all means?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there clearly are some issues with the officials. I can tell you that teams think that the officiating is subpar and are very unhappy. And on top of all that, you had Troy Vincent today basically come out and say that the collective bargaining agreement with officials is over this spring. And so I think the officials right now, you know, I've been texting with a few team officials. One's texting me right now as it's coming in, but this guy's pointing out that the officials already are preoccupied with the lockout. And then this summer, the league sent CFL officials to training camps as part of a partnership, quote-unquote partnership, and officials all viewed the CFL officials as potential replacements.
Interesting.
You know, I got another guy texting me, you know, if you want more time with the officials, make them full-time. But you can't complain about it publicly that you can't access them. Focus on the accountability for the officials. So, again, you know, the league is presenting the viewpoint it wants out there. I got it. But there are a lot of different viewpoints about this particular issue that we have not heard the end of just yet.
So, Adam, I believe it was Monday night you broke the word that the Colts were going to work out Phillip Rivers. Then they added him to the practice squad. Then I see him doing a press conference. Is there actually a chance that Phillip Rivers is going to start this week?
Yeah, there's definitely a chance. I don't know how to give odds on that, but it's going to be him or Riley Leonard. And Riley Leonard's got a sprained ligament in his knee. And, you know, they brought him in to play him. So I don't know whether he's playing this week or next week or the week after, but he's going to come. He's going to play at some point in time here, barring some setback. Now, in all honesty, I don't mean to be negative Nelly, but, like, he could pull a muscle in, you know, while he's going through practice. That could happen at any point.
Or at lunch.
Right? Or getting out of bed.
Right.
Like the rest of us.
Exactly. You know, yeah, exactly. So, barring that, I think he's going to play as early as Sunday. How about that? Like, he's going to play, and he might play Sunday. And it wouldn't be a surprise. I mean, to me, it feels like he's going to play Sunday. That's what it feels like, but I don't know that just yet.
Pretty cool when he was coaching his kids' high school team. They ran the Colts offense, and he kept in touch with Steichen. So just adds to the drama.
Yeah.
Adam, real quick, we did a thing on our station's website, WEI.com, where we had one of our Patriots writers rank the 25 most significant moments from 2000 to 2025, a little quarter-century poll for the Patriots, 25 most significant moments in the Patriots franchise. If you were to just sort of throw one out there, what would your vote be for the most significant moment in the last 25 years for the Patriots?
I think, did they draft Brady in 99 or 2000?
2000.
April 2000.
That's number one.
There you go.
Okay.
That was easy.
Number one. By the way, where did that come in on that?
Like third or actually top seven.
Yeah, we didn't make the list. We're going to rip it apart later in our show.
Okay. Let me just give you a few random moments, okay?
Yeah.
I would say drafting Brady, number one. I would say Mo Lewis's hit on Drew Bledsoe, number two.
Yep.
I would say Adam Vinatieri's field goal against the Raiders, number three. Those are three things right off the top of my head that just instantly jumped to the top of my thinking.
What I love is I was there for all three of those, so that's pretty cool. Hey, Adam, one more before we let you go. You also tweeted out something that I find fascinating. It's got to be the longest day of the year for you, and that is draft day. And you're saying that the NFL has notified teams today that it is shortening the time between picks in the first round from 10 minutes to 8 minutes, which is, so I did some math, and 32 times two, that's 64 minutes we've saved now with the new format. Are you happy about that?
I know most every single fan, 99.99% of the people will be happy about it.
Oh, yeah.
But from a TV standpoint, it's not great for me because it's hard for me to get time on air as it is because there are so many voices to get on between Mel and Lewis and Herbie and whoever else is doing it, the draft, Mel, Booger McFarland and Greeny and every, like, I'm always, hey, I got to trade and get through. And sometimes the timing doesn't last. So two fewer minutes, but that makes it harder for me. So selfishly, I don't love it, but I understand that everybody else will.
All right, Adam, appreciate your time. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
You too, Adam. Thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.